This is Tyra Banks for the North Carolina Reading Surface, and this is Essence. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine. Emily B. reveals daughter's journeys on the autism spectrum. The stylist and mother of four shared a heartfelt message about daughter Journey Isabella's life with nonverbal autism and FACE syndrome. This article is by Elizabeth Ayula. April is Autism Acceptance Month, which is a time when people shed light on the neurodevelopmental condition. Former TV personality, stylist, and influencer Emily Bustamante, known as Emily B., revealed on World Autism Awareness Day that her youngest daughter, Journey Isabella, whom she shares with rapper Fabulous, is autistic and nonverbal. "For a long time, I kept this part of my life private, publicly," her caption on Instagram started. She shared the emotive message under a family picture with her four kids and two grandchildren. The caption continued, "Not because I was ashamed, not because I didn't love her loudly, but because some journeys feel sacred. My daughter Journey is autistic. She's nonverbal. She has sensory processing challenges. She was born with FACE syndrome, a very rare congenital condition." As the stylist shared, FACE syndrome is a condition characterized by a large birthmark on the face, scalp, or neck, occurring alongside other developmental abnormalities. FACE is also an acronym, and each letter stands for a specific group of potential issues: posterior fossa malformations, hemangioma, arterial anomalies, cardiac defects, and eye abnormalities. This condition occurs more frequently in girls than boys. The former Love & Hip Hop star explained that as a result of Journey being autistic and having FACE, she experiences the world differently. The mother of two also explained that having her youngest daughter changed me in ways I still can't fully put into words. Bustamante added, "There have been moments of fear, moments of learning, moments where I had to become stronger than I ever imagined. But more than anything, there has been love." She concluded, "On World Autism Awareness Day, I'm choosing to share this openly because visibility matters, and so does she." Emily also shared an Instagram page for her foundation, a special journey foundation where people can follow her daughter's journey and learn more about autism. The foundation aims to provide advocacy, awareness, and community. Fabulous also commented on Emily's post, showing his daughter some love. "A special journey," he wrote. The two, who had a long-term relationship, also share sons Jonas, 10, and Johan, 17. Bustamante has the eldest daughter, Tina Williams, 28, from a past relationship. Her two young children, Essex and Emmy, are featured in the family photo shoot. Watch Don Cheadle on his character in navigating racial tensions in Fight Night. The award-winning actor reflects on portraying a black detective and building dynamic on-screen rivalry with Kevin Hart. In Peacock's new series, Fight Night, The Million Dollar Heist, Don Cheadle steps into the role of J.D. Hudson, a black detective navigating the racial complexities of 1970s Atlanta. In an exclusive interview, Cheadle discusses what initially drew him to the role and the extensive preparation required to portray a black detective in a desegregated police force during such a turbulent era. Cheadle also explores his on-screen chemistry with Kevin Hart, who plays Gordon Chicken Man Williams, a key figure in the narrative. The actor sheds light on how the tension between their characters drives the story forward, creating an electrifying dynamic between law and crime. Exclusive. Yolanda Renee King, sole grandchild of Dr. Martin Luther King, celebrates Cotillion debut. The 17-year-old, who is already an accomplished children's book author, is stepping into womanhood on her own terms. And this article is by Janae Bolden. By the time Yolanda Renee King stepped onto the floor of her Cotillion, she had already experienced what many would consider enough action to fill a whole weekend. The night before that event, the 17-year-old attended prom, posing for a photo in a black lace gown alongside her date. Sunday brought with it another rite of passage. King joined a line of young women in white gowns at the Georgia International Convention Center for the Ivy Community Foundation Pink Cultured Pearls Cotillion. Poised for presentation, the room was filled with family and friends beaming with pride. Walking out and seeing everyone smiling and cheering for us, I felt so supported, King recalls. And then looking at the other girls and realizing we did this together, that feeling of sisterhood was everything. These are my forever sisters now. King first gained national recognition at just 9 years old when she took the stage at 2018 March for Our Lives rally in Washington, D.C. to deliver a speech calling for an end to gun violence. In 2023, she became an author with the release of her children's book, We Dream a World, Carrying the Light for My Grandparents. Those early accomplishments, coupled with her experience as the sole grandchild of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and Coretta Scott King, could have easily saddled her with expectations or ego. But instead, Yolanda exudes a grace and thoughtful innocence that speaks volumes. When we first spoke days before the cotillion, King described her senior year as a pendulum, constantly swinging between excitement and reflection. That emotional duality didn't disappear after the big night. If anything, it became clearer. I would say bittersweet, but in a good way, she says of her feelings after the cotillion. It's sweet because it's such a beautiful moment, and it's a little bittersweet because it means I'm growing up and starting a new chapter. But I feel ready for that now. Growing up, Yolanda says she looked at the cotillion as part of a broader cultural language of coming-of-age rituals across communities. But her participation revealed a deeper layer. I didn't realize how intense it was, she said of her preparation. There were long rehearsals, choreography to master, posture to perfect, and a series of pre-events that built both discipline and connection, including a particularly emotional brunch shared with mothers and daughters. It feels like I was organizing different parts of myself, she says, putting things into compartments so I can be presented into society. She adds, it taught me that I can stick with something even when it feels like a lot. There were days I was tired or overwhelmed, but I kept showing up. And now I see that I'm stronger and more focused than I thought. If the cotillion marks a formal transition into womanhood, King approaches that idea with both reverence and intention. Tonight made it feel real, she said at the time. I was thinking about my family and all the women who have come before me, and looking around at the girls beside me, knowing we're all stepping into this together. That sense of collective experience left a lasting impression on Yolanda. It made me feel proud and part of an amazing community. For the youngest King, a womanhood isn't something she's stepping into blindly. It's something she's actively shaping, informed by the women who raised her and the legacy she carries forward. But she's also clear that this next chapter belongs to her. Despite the weight of her name and the expectations that often come with it, King is still navigating what it means to be a young person, figuring things out. I'd like to know what my life plan is, she shares, but I've been getting more okay with saying, I don't know. That openness extends to how she experiences her own accomplishments. Even the cotillion didn't overwhelm her in the moment she'd expected. I thought I'd be really nervous, she says, but I was just taking it all in and enjoying every moment, and I didn't expect to feel so connected to everyone. As for what's next for Yolanda, this spring she'll graduate from Atlanta International School and soon after head to New York City to attend Columbia University in the fall. Through it all, she remains grounded in something refreshingly rare, presence. She's eager to immerse herself in what she describes as an academic playground filled with opportunity. But for now, she's allowing herself to sit in this moment. A weekend of prom dresses and ball gowns, of endings and beginnings, of stepping forward while still holding on to what came before. This chapter has served me well, King says. Brandy gets her flowers. See every look from the Walk of Fame ceremony. From Babyface and Monica to Kalani and Issa Rae, our favorite stars showed up in style to celebrate Brandy's big day. Brandy is part of the 2026 Essence Festival of Culture lineup. This article is by Mecca Pryor. Brandy was honored with a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame recently. For the prestigious occasion, a host of beloved stars showed up to celebrate, including Babyface, Issa Rae, Kalani, Monica, Ryan Ramsey, Jennifer Lewis, Shar Jackson, and Erica Campbell, alongside Warren Campbell. Brandy herself arrived in full Alaya, wearing a sleeveless gray top with ruched sculptural sleeves. She paired this with a high-waisted bell-bottom pants featuring asymmetrical pleating styled by Ashley Sean Thomas. She completed the look with elbow-length gloves, pointed toe pumps from Saint Laurent, and a pillbox hat by Banana Millinery. Among the guests, Monica stepped out in feather-adorned trousers paired with a silk blouse featuring matching feathered sleeves from LaPointe. She styled the look with the iconic Chanel pearl bag and layered multi-strand pearls chains. Kalani opted for a playful mix of textures, wearing belted ankle booties with a drop-waist yellow skirt layered over black collared mini dress, finished with her signature gel-styled pixie cut. Babyface kept things classic in a long gray blazer by Tom Brown, styled with black trousers, a matching gray turtleneck, sweater, and his signature all-black sunglasses. Issa Rae leaned into the butter yellow trend, choosing tailored linen pants with a center seam, a halter neck top, and gold strappy sandals. As for Brandy's daughter, Sarai Smith, she opted for a relaxed look, featuring a black wash denim, a deep neck gray button-up shirt, and pointed toe Prada slingbacks. Each look was a reminder that throwing on an expensive fit to show up for your friends is always a good idea. And next, did Brandy and Ryan Press just spin the block? The internet has questions. Is this Walk of Fame appearance a soft relaunch or just friendly support? A decade after their breakup, they're sparking round two rumors. And this article is by Elizabeth Ayula. Not every breakup marks the end of a love story. Sometimes it just makes room for a new one. Brandy Norwood and her ex-fiancé Ryan Press may be writing a new one after splitting up over a decade ago. The singer and music executive were photographed together during her Hollywood Walk of Fame ceremony on March 30th, fueling rumors that they've decided to spin the block. Press, who is the president for A&R for North America at Warner Chappell Music Publishing, gave the star a shout-out via his Instagram stories after attending the event. He kept it simple. "Congrats, Brandy." Press later captioned the story alongside a picture of Brandy on stage giving a speech. The Grammy Award-winning artist reflected on her success, penning an inspiring message about her accomplishment on Instagram. "Seeing the stars on the Walk of Fame lit something in me. It made me believe. It made me affirm over my own life. I'm going to sing my way onto one of these stars. And I did. I'm beyond grateful. A star on the Walk of Fame is a definition of legacy." Regarding Press, the two ended their engagement in 2014. The singer's rep explained that the split was mutual and cordial, so there was said to be no bad blood. "They're both taking a step back regarding their relationship. They're definitely friends and will continue to be friends. There's nothing malicious or negative about their split." Brandy also said the same during an interview with Wendy Williams. "We just grew in different directions," she stated in 2015. "We're still friends. I still have a lot of love for him. There are no hard feelings. That's what I'm saying." Press proposed in late 2012, which was about a year after they launched their relationship publicly on New Year's Eve. "I'm really blessed to have someone in my life like him," Brandy told People shortly after the proposal. "He's truly a gift." Prior to that engagement, the singer was engaged to NBA guard Quentin Richardson in 2004. 2 years earlier, she welcomed her daughter Sarai with producer Robert Smith. "We haven't seen her pop out publicly with a partner in some time. It may be because the singer has been focused on self-love," which she revealed during a 2020 interview on Essence's former podcast, Yes Girl. "I've learned boundaries for myself. I've learned how to take care of myself," Brandy said. "I learned that self-love is really what I've been looking for all my life, and I've looked for it in the wrong places." Can we anticipate a re-proposal between Brandy and Ryan? Or is this just a friend supporting a friend? We'll just have to wait and see. And next, op-ed. Why Brandy and Wanye's relationship wasn't okay, not even for the 1990s. Brandy's account of dating the Boyz II Men singer as a teen is sparking debate, but dismissing it as simply a sign of the times does more harm than good. And this article is by Elizabeth Ayula. When we talk about growing up in the 90s, many of us are transported back to an unforgettable time filled with a sense of nostalgia. Beepers, fan ponytails, classic music, and iconic black sitcoms. One of my most poignant memories from that time was being catcalled and groomed by grown men. Turns out that was an all too common experience. Brandy recently detailed her version of events around dating a grown man as a teenager in her newly released memoir, Phases. The alleged man in question is Boyz II Men's Wanye Morris, whom she claims began grooming her at the age of 15 by offering industry-related advice and calling regularly to check up on her. According to Brandy, they became romantically involved when she turned 16. Morris was 22 at the time. She wrote that she lost her virginity to the crooner. "My girlfriend is 16. I don't remember when he first said it, but those four words started rolling off Wanye's tongue whenever we were alone," Brandy wrote in the book. "I couldn't tell if this refrain was meant to soothe his own conscience or temper the questions shimmering in my gaze." As expected, when anyone shares a controversial account of an experience, you have both supporters and detractors. Some people are condemning the alleged action of the Boyz II Men singer, while there are others who have taken to accusing the I Wanna Be Down singer of being fast. I think the point of view is that I'm most taken aback by is that because minors dating adults was supposedly normal in the 90s, Brandy should move on. It's a dangerous thing to say, considering many unethical things that have happened in the past were once downplayed as the norm. Once upon a time, slavery was normal. Women not having access to bank accounts was normal. Child brides were also common. They still are in some places. Yet we still fight for retribution for those past crimes. If those things aren't called out in the present, they're likely to be repeated in the future. Arguing that grooming and statutory rape were normal in the 90s, so they should get it passed now, is harmful. Not just to victims, but also to the progress we're making in protecting girls and women. We must call out everything that's inappropriate until we get to a place where we feel safe existing alongside men. And that starts with redefining what is socially appropriate and morally acceptable. Also, let's be real. Many of the behaviors we've normalized are steeped in patriarchal values, which we know are harmful to women, and in many cases, men too. Inasmuch as some people argue that girls dating older men in their teens was common, I can bet my money that both the men and teens engaged in these age gap relationships knew it wasn't appropriate. In Phases, the singer recalls that she knew full well that what was happening between Wanye and me was wrong. And yet my attitude was, this is special. This is real. People just can't understand. Teen years are tricky because you're viewed as old enough to know better, but not wise enough to do so. And when you fail to know or do better, you're labeled as fast. The reality is that young girls under the age of consent aren't fast. They're impressionable, vulnerable, naive, often grappling with their self-esteem and seeking external validation. Teen girls are also socialized to be agreeable, subservient, and unassertive. And that's what makes them the perfect catch for predators. Just because Brandy knew it was wrong doesn't let adult men who engage in these behaviors off the hook. She was a teenager who deserved a safe space to learn, grow, and make mistakes with boys her own age. Admittedly, as a teenager, I was catcalled and groomed by older men. I dated many of them, too. In the 90s, it was cool and commonplace to have older boyfriends. Nevertheless, I always knew it wasn't right, so I hid it from my family. It wasn't until my early 30s that I realized the full ramifications of being romantically involved with older men as a teenager. During the time, I went through extensive therapy to work through childhood and sexual trauma. And a common theme in sessions was me blaming myself for the unfortunate encounters I had with grown men who knew better. Only when I stopped blaming myself and acknowledged that I was taken advantage of because young girls cannot consent, was I able to release that trauma and move forward. It seems like Brandy may have had to take similar steps to heal. Let's stop brushing off baleful behavior because it was once deemed normal. Naming and shaming it, no matter how long ago it occurred, may save present-day teens from falling into the same traps. It could also be what a fellow girl needs to heal. Celebrate Black Joy, this week's best uplifting moments. Here's your weekly dose of feel-good people, places, and things happening in our culture. And this article is by Bridget Bartlett Royal. these days, it is easy to feel like the world is on fire. All of our bills are too high. We're at war with Iran. The government is, well, you know how stressful politics is right now. Our news cycle usually feels like one sad or depressing story after another. But there is still an abundance of Black joy and Black excellence in our midst. So we've gathered up some of the week's most cheerful news to help take your happy meter up a notch. Enjoy, and be sure to share this story in your favorite group chat. Every last one of us can use more joy in our lives. Wife life, but better, Simone I. Smith has been married to rap legend LL Cool J for 30 years, and the couple share 4 adult children. Simone is also a successful entrepreneur and owner of multiple businesses, most notably her popular Simone I. Smith jewelry line, dedicated philanthropist and a cancer survivor. During a recent appearance on the Tamron Hall show, Tamron gave Simone her flowers as a woman not solely defined by her relationship status, but rather for her own amazing accomplishments. Sisters doing it for themselves, Christina Watson, 22, and Shakira Mieres, 26, of Charlotte, North Carolina, are now homeowners and their townhouses sit side by side. The savvy duo leveraged creative financing to secure their real estate in the historically Black Logan suburb of the Queen City. It is gratifying to witness these siblings work together to build wealth through home ownership at such early ages. The average age of a first-time homebuyer has reportedly climbed past 40, so their purchase is even more impressive. Way to go, Christina and Shakira. De-influence us, please. There is no shortage of influencers pressuring us to spend our money on things we rarely need. That's why the content of De-influencer Katya Chesnuk is so refreshing and often hilarious. The social media personality motivates her followers to be more conscious of their money habits, which is particularly important during April, also known as Financial Literacy Month. Thanks for the love, Katya. We're blessed to be a blessing. Experts estimate that there are more than 100,000 homeless people in New York City. This population struggles to find safe and comfortable places to bathe and take care of other basic sanitary needs. Washington Heights, New York resident and dedicated volunteer Janice K. Bryant gives freely of her time to work at Harlem United, a nonprofit organization that offers free showers for people down on their luck. It's hard for me to think about how bad it must feel to not be able to take a shower, says Bryant. So I'm glad. I'm glad that we're here. When ball is life, pressure. 6-year-old Christopher Bess of North Carolina is already a winner for Coach of the Year. According to Ball is Life, Bess has the confidence of someone well beyond his years and actually seems to have a solid understanding of basketball. His energy and passion are inspiring to all ages. Also, has this child been here before? Keep up the great work, Christopher. Dating decoded. 75% of Black singles use dating apps. Here's their biggest frustration. Black singles want more than hookups and high incomes. They want serious suitors and loyalty, according to BLK's second annual State of Black Singles report. This article is by Elizabeth Ayula. The situationship era is over for Black singles, according to BLK's second annual State of Black Singles report. Singles are putting their feet down and seeking intentional connections. The nationwide survey from the popular dating app revealed that folks have zero to appetite for ambiguity, half commitments, or digital games. The data, drawn from over 5,000 BLK users across the United States, also challenges narratives about modern dating that Black singles are commitment phobes, app culture is killing romance, and younger generations have given up on marriage. The numbers tell a vastly different story. Here are some highlights from the report. Singles are seeking connection, not hookups. For starters, 75% of BLK users are actively seeking an intentional, serious, or marriage-minded connection. This debunks the myth that dating apps are mere hookup tools. Nearly half of the respondents joined the platform specifically to find a serious relationship, and more than a quarter are explicitly looking for a partner who shares their cultural values. That said, the frustration is real because singles are struggling to find potential matches aligned with their goals. While 42% of singles are highly engaged in using dating apps daily, 44% are left frustrated by unserious individuals. Nonetheless, Black singles are consistent in their search due to their desire for real partnership. Despite news that people are no longer engaging with dating apps, BLK's recent report finds that these platforms have now officially surpassed mutual friends, events, and social settings as the leading source of strong romantic connections. About 31.8% of respondents claim their strongest connections come from dating apps. Passive courtship is a thing of the past. An overwhelming 88.2% of respondents are comfortable making the first move. That's a clear sign that passive courtship's norms are becoming outdated, and Black singles know what they want. That same clarity extends to exclusivity. The majority require either an explicit conversation or an official title before considering a relationship committed. Assumed exclusivity is a no-no. Gen Z's cautious now, but seeking commitment long term. The report's most surprising findings belong to Gen Z. More than half of Gen Z respondents are not currently sexually active, choosing celibacy or abstinence as a way to protect their peace and preserve their emotional bandwidth for the right match. That said, 82% still want or are open to marriage, and nearly 80% want or are open to having children. Building together over ready-made. Nearly 59% of respondents prioritize genuine connection and shared ambition over a partner's current financial stability. In a climate saturated with transactional dating advice, Black singles are extending grace. They recognize that a willingness to build together outranks a fully realized bank balance. When it comes to who picks up the check, pragmatism wins. The majority believe dating costs should flex based on context, budget, and who extended the invitation versus rigid gendered expectations. Overall, the findings encapsulate the views of a pool of people who are emotionally intelligent, deeply intentional, and no longer interested in wasting time. Well, we have run out of time for today's episode of Essence. We hope you enjoyed listening. Please join us next time. I'm Tyra Banks for the reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or hearing-impaired. Essence is available as a podcast at our website, NorthCarolinaReadingService.org. That's NCReadingService.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-882-5138. Again, that number is 919-882-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.